This is Hidden Mickey Guy, Steve Barrett, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 80 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to first take a look at our final four. We've got four teams left in our Movie Madness matchup, and we're going to break that down to two. And after that, we've got Sam, fresh back from the parks, with his report on what's new in the parks and outside the parks. So before we start, let's say hello to who's on the show tonight. First of all, let's say hi to Jen from the Delightful Life blog. Hey, Jen, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Good.
Good. Welcome back, Sam.
Yeah, thank you. You know, when you look at the clock and think 24 hours ago I was watching Wishes. But anyway, very happy to be here with you guys.
Well, great, Sam. And, of course, this is Ed, and we're very glad that you're here with us tonight. As I said before, we're going to hit our final four Movie Madness and see if we can get down to our two championship teams. Now, if you've been listening to the last couple shows, you've heard us go from 64 incredible animated movies down to the top four we have tonight. So we can't wait to get to that. Also, I just wanted to say hi to Jimmy. Sorry you couldn't make the show tonight, Jimmy, and we'll definitely catch up with you next week. Okay, so here we go, guys. Our final four of the Movie Madness. Now, it's been really tight getting down to where we are, and we've had a real, real tough time getting here. And what we want to do, too, is also thank all our fans and the friends of the show who've been helping us along the way. As you know, we've been having voting on our website, the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com website, and you're able to help us with this voting. As you know, we've got four hosts, so there are on occasions going to be ties, and that's where you guys come in to break those ties. So, without further ado, let's get on to the final four. The first matchup we have is the number one Aladdin versus the number one Beauty and the Beast. This one's going to be very tough, and we're going to start this one out with Sam.
Starting with me, I believe in both cases here in the final four, I'm going with the underdog, if there is such a thing. Mm. I am going with Aladdin in this first matchup. I absolutely love the genie. Maybe it's a little sentiment for Robin Williams, I'm not sure, but my vote is for Aladdin.
Okay, very good. Jen, you're up.
I have to say, I almost knew you'd do that. You've been pretty excited about Aladdin all the way through, Sam, and it's obviously a great movie. So I'm going to go with Beauty and the Beast, which in previous years, you know, I talked last week about how difficult it was to match Beauty and the Beast up against Frozen, but since Frozen and Big Hero 6 and all the new movies are out of the picture, Beauty and the Beast definitely stands the test of time and is a great movie.
Okay, we've got one for each team. And I'm going to go next, and the movie I'm going to pick is going to be Aladdin. Basically, came down to me between a love story versus an adventure movie. Aladdin does have a little bit of the love story in it, but it's mainly an adventure movie, and I like that a lot better. So, Aladdin for me. Now, Jimmy can't be with us tonight, but he did send us his pick, and for this game, he picked Beauty and the Beast, which, as you're keeping count, has us at 2-2, and now we have our friends to listen to. Sam, what do our fans say?
And the fans, thanks again, guys, for voting. We had hundreds of votes. I absolutely love it. And the fans with 62% go with Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Beauty and the Beast moving on. I guess all the
just
extra...
Just not a surprise. Not a surprise, right?
It's all that extra advertising in the parks that kept them moving.
It must be. Be Our Guest, which, by the way, had breakfast there a couple days ago. We'll talk about that later.
You don't think the magic carpets of Aladdin holds its own in that? Or...
We do need another Aladdin something. Disneyland has such a great musical.
Yes.
We do have a little piece of it in Philharmagic.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'd like. A nice 3D ride that had more of that would be cool. But
very cool.
Down the road. Okay, well, good. That's our first game and our first finalist. We have Beauty and the Beast moving on to the championship game. Now we're going to switch to the other side of the brackets, and we have the number one Lion King versus the number two Toy Story. Now, to start this one out, we're going to start with Jimmy's vote, and he said that he wanted to go with the Lion King. So we got one vote for the Lion King, and I'm going to take the next vote, and this one was very tough. You have two great stories, two great sets of characters. However, for this, I ended up going old school with Lion King. Okay, Jen, you're up.
Yeah, I thought this one was really hard, too. I actually am going to go with Toy Story. I don't have a great reason, because honestly, they're both so good. But The Lion King, as powerful a movie as it is, I think I'd watch Toy Story more often and more readily.
Okay, very good. Sam, you're up.
So I'm up, and again, as I mentioned before, I thought I was going with the underdogs. I am also going Toy Story. Absolutely love Toy Story. It probably has something to do with the fact that my oldest was born the same year that this came out, and there was a very fast connection there with me and Toy Story, specifically for that reason, and it's Toy Story all the way, which means we're 2-2, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the voting results right now. 50.82%.
Wow.
49.18%.
Oh, wow. I can't even guess which one it's going to be.
That's how close this was. And our listeners are moving Lion King to the finals.
Wow.
Okay, very nice. There you go.
Was that close?
That's,
do you believe that?
Close.
That's the way it should be. Awesome. Okay, well, there we go, guys.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast versus Lion King. And we probably could have said this the first day. That's your final matchup. But
at least, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but this was so close in this Final Four, it could have gone either way.
It could have.
So really nice how it happened that way.
And in both cases, our listeners did the tiebreakers. So there you go. This is for you guys. So now, Beauty and the Beast versus the Lion King.
Excellent. And as always, we're going to have voting open on our website. So please go hit that site. I think it's once every 3 hours.
Once every 3 hours, you can vote the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com/Movie Madness. Or if you go to the DisneyNerds.com, you'll see a Movie Madness link right there on the front. Follow that and you'll be able to vote in the online poll.
You know what? I think, you know, I've only been around a year, but I think I can maybe possibly predict how our votes are going to go. I think the fan vote is going to be really, really important again.
Yes.
I don't know. I definitely could see another tie in our future.
You're right.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, tune in next week for that. Okay. Well, as I mentioned, we're going to now go on with Sam's trip from Walt Disney World. He's got a great report, and he did a lot of things with his family. And also at this point, sadly, we're going to have to say goodbye to Jen for tonight.
That's right. I cannot wait to hear what Sam has to share. I have a trip coming up in a couple of weeks, and I feel like you can go back every other month, and there's always something new. So. Can't
exactly.
Wait to hear it.
Exactly, Jen.
Okay. Well, so Sam, I heard you went to Disney World.
I did, as a matter of fact, and I just got back. I was there for 6 days. This was a family trip. And so that everybody knows, right? This is me and my wife taking our three kids. There's no special access, nothing, just a fan headed to Disney World using the My Disney Experience app, planning ahead of time some restaurants and some FastPass pluses and doing the best we can. And while I'm there, taking lots and lots of pictures and looking for those little nerdy changes that we all love to talk about when we get back.
Oh, right. I can't wait for this one, too. There's a lot going on this past week.
There is. A lot of new stuff.
Okay, well, so how do you want to start this one out?
You know, that's a great question because there's so many places that we could start. Why not start with what's the freshest in my mind? And that is the fact that we did, with our last fast pass of the trip, we did the Wishes viewing in the new hub location, which was really cool.
Awesome. Now, are they completely done with all the construction in there?
So they're not done with the hub. In fact, I would say right now, as of, you know, April 15th, they're halfway completed. And this is how I'd look at it. When you approach straight down Main Street USA and you get to the hub, if you're looking at the partner statue, you can almost draw a line straight across horizontally east and west. And everything below that line at the partner statue is finished. And everything above it towards the castle is currently under construction behind walls and all dug up. So they sort of started with the closest to Casey's and to the plaza. That's all reopened, and it is completely different than it used to be. Now, what I'll do is I'll throw a couple of pictures in the show notes. So head out to the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com, look for show number 80, and you'll see some of the pictures. But essentially, they have completely redone this area of the Magic Kingdom.
Now, if you had to make a guess, what was the ultimate reason for this change? I mean, they had to have... I know there's going to be a couple different things that's going to take care of, but what do you think was the main drive for this?
You know, the main drive here, in my opinion, is absolutely capacity. It's getting more people in the central hub location where everyone wants to be for Wishes, the castle stage show, and the other castle projection shows, while keeping over pathways so that people can come and go as they want without being, you know, all jammed into this one central hub location, right? Everyone wants to watch fireworks in front of the castle. Now there's much more space to do that in.
Nice.
So previously, if you came down right down Main Street, look to your left, there's Casey's. There were a couple of seats near Casey's and then a waterway, and you'd cross that waterway to get to the hub. And likewise, on your right-hand side, there was the Plaza restaurant with one row of seats in an area that went down, and there were more seating down there by where the Swan boats used to be. So all of that area has been completely filled in and raised up to create this advanced hub, or this plaza or garden, as they're calling it. Now, that garden area serves a few purposes. Now, number one, when you look at some of the pictures, you'll notice there's a second circle around the hub. So the central hub that was always there, and now a second circle that goes around, so you don't have to go in to the partner statue to make your way around to Adventureland. You can turn much sooner, and it feels like there's so much more space there. Now, the interesting part is these gardens, and I know Jimmy had talked about it on a previous show. And here's where it's interesting. It's not part of the hub, so you don't walk through it. It's sort of a fenced-off area to the side that you can go into, and there's a fountain, and there's, you know, it's turf. It's not real grass that you sort of walk through. In fact, I would compare it and say it's the exact same grass that's over at Epcot at Flower and Garden in the playground areas. That must have been where they tested some of that. In these areas, you just kind of hang out through the daytime. There's not a lot there, and you probably wouldn't notice it unless you were looking for it. But what happens at night is pretty ingenious here, because what they'll do through the day, it's gated off and there's lots of open areas where you can come and go. In the evening, they close off these gates and it essentially becomes a bullpen area with, if you're looking down at a map, on the right-hand side and the left-hand side of these two garden areas, there's an entrance. And in the daytime, you don't notice it. But at night, it's a fast pass reader. And you go in this side, scan your fast pass. It lights up green. Or, believe it or not, in my case, with my Darth Vader magic band, it lit up red and breathed like Darth Vader, which is the first time it did that in another park besides Studios.
Excellent.
Very That's a whole other story, right? I loved it. And then my daughters did the same thing with her Frozen, which was really cool. Now, once you're in this area, you're not allowed to sit. You have to stand. But something you don't notice if you're in here through the day, the ground is actually sloped. So it goes, as you get away from the castle, it goes up. So everyone's standing in this area looking right at the castle in an area that isn't very packed. There's people in it, but you're not on top of each other. And you're watching Wishes through a sound system that's incredible, because every one of the posts have speakers that you didn't notice in the daytime. So this fast pass viewing location for Wishes was absolutely incredible. And it's amazing how they did it.
Oh, very cool. And you were there just the other night.
I was there two nights ago. So this area is opened, and it's used for fast pass viewing. They're doing it every night. Something else that was interesting that they did here, while fireworks were happening, those gates that they had closed up, they opened them throughout the performance so that when it was over, you could just go right into the hub or exit the park, which was really cool. Now, the area that I was in was to the right of Main Street, which would be right in front of the Plaza ice cream shop. Now, one other thing I'll mention, between the Plaza and this area that's this garden, there are now three rows of tables that weren't there previously. And the same thing is replicated on the other side near Casey's. So there's much more outdoor seating for when you exit the Plaza with ice cream, or if you're coming out of Casey's with some hot dogs. There's lots of places that weren't there before. And this is all part of them getting rid of some of the moat that used to go around this area. Something I thought interesting that ties back to our interview last week with Jim Hill. He mentioned them theming some backstage areas. And now I know exactly what he was talking about. When Wishes was over, so there was a Main Street Electrical Parade, there was a castle show, the 3D projection, then Wishes. And traditionally, that's when everybody heads out to the park, right? That's when everybody leaves.
Sure.
So what they did is, this new Plaza Garden exits right into that backstage area that connects the Plaza with the front hub in Town Square near Tony's Town Square. That back area that they had used previously when it's really busy, except now they've added theme to that backstage area. So the walls aren't just the go-away green color that they have. They've actually added brickwork to it, and they made it look like it's the back of Main Street, not a backstage area at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, very cool.
So you could literally exit right out of this bullpen area, right down out the exit to the front door and to the buses.
Kind of a page from Hollywood Studios and Illuminations getting out of there.
Exactly like that. It's just, okay, we know everybody's headed out of here. There's kids that are sleeping. They're in strollers. Let's get them out of here as quick as possible. And it was pretty impressive.
Now, you mentioned how each side of the hub is a mirror of the other side with tables and the bullpens for the people watching. Do they have a backstage exit on the other side too?
No, there was not an exit that I saw. It looked like they were pointing everybody to Main Street or to the exit behind the right-hand side of the right-hand side.
Okay. There is space back there, although I'm not sure if it's just too heavily traveled by cast members to make
it
feasible
or
not.
I actually had the same thought, Ed, and I think that some of the parade would be staged back there that's about to start in 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, good point.
That was my thought as to why they wouldn't, but I could be completely wrong in that. Because the Main Street Electrical Parade was running into Town Square back to Adventureland. Or, I'm sorry, back to Frontierland. It was running that direction. So it would have to be sort of back there. But it was interesting to see how they pulled it together. And I'll tell you this. During the day, when you stand right across that bridge near Casey's and near the Plaza, it is huge, the area that they've uncovered here. It feels like it's got to be 100% bigger than it was before, and it feels like it.
Sure, they had all that wasted water in there.
And that water's all gone. It's now covered with, it's not there anymore. And now all the walls are up for that second phase of the Plaza, which is towards the castle. And you can see what's being dug up. You can see that in the Disney concept art, which I'll include in the show notes. They're actually expanding the castle into the hub by constructing some castle turrets in the location that used to be the popcorn and the ice cream. If you remember that, sort of towards the castle.
Right.
It looked like Main Street almost, but in the concept art, you can see a turret and then a little building that could very easily be the new popcorn stand or ice cream stand or whatever they want to make available there.
Sure. And I got to imagine anything solid they make that close to the castle has got to have some type of pyrotechnics or something going on.
It has to, because there were temporary rigging where you could see the technicians were on top of it. Because where they previously were, the buildings were gone, just completely missing now. And they were up on top of scaffolding sort of in broad daylight, but you didn't notice them when you're watching the castle.
Gotcha. Okay, well, before we get away from the hub, let me ask you this real quick. Just to get an idea, do they still, when you walk to Adventureland, are you still walking over water?
Yes, when you go to Adventureland, you're still headed over water. The only place that there is not water is directly in front of Casey's, all the way back to all the way back towards Crystal Palace. And then on the right, there's no water from the Plaza restaurant over towards Tomorrowland Terrace.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just those areas. There was water the rest of the way around. And you're still going across the little bridge, and it's still the hub. But if you think about it, go back just a few years. Cinderella's Castle, if you look straight down on it, was Cinderella's Castle. Now they've added new Fantasyland and extended the castle walls into Fantasyland, and now they're doing the same thing into the hub. So that castle just got so much bigger. It's pretty impressive what they've done.
Oh, nice. They had to make room for the Frozen characters.
Maybe that's it. Anna and Elsa were in the morning show.
Oh, there you go.
They're on the train. Oh. The train comes around the corner.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Which actually doesn't... Well, I guess it kind of doesn't fit anymore, or it fits. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. They're on it. And there's still a huge... I did the morning show. I recorded the morning show. It will be part of the Disney Nerds Podcast YouTube channel because I was front and center with a fisheye lens, and I thought it was a great shot to get.
Excellent.
So I have that.
Okay, well, anything else in Magic Kingdom stick out? Now, we were talking a little before the show, and you mentioned how the Pirates had been closed down for a day.
Yes.
Now, I know, I think it's maybe about a month or away from getting shut down for the entire summer.
Yes, which is one of the reasons why we did definitely ride it. But one day, over at Pirates, and this was interesting, Pirates was down. We had a fast pass for Pirates. So, wait a minute. I didn't know it was supposed to be down. We had a fast pass. Well, what do? The cast members at the entrance essentially had a sign that said, hey, if you have a fast pass right now that's valid for Pirates of the Caribbean, you can go to any of these other attractions and use it right now. And basically, it was every attraction except Peter Pan's Flight and the Mine Train. So being where we were, we just walked over to Big Thunder and used it there, and it worked fine.
Great.
So that was pretty cool. They did have that sort of built in for us.
Kind of a bonus of the new technology now.
It was absolutely a bonus. We arrived during Easter week on Wednesday, and we stayed through Wednesday of the following week. And I can say that the crowd levels definitely dropped off after that next weekend, after Easter. The parks went from very, very crowded to not many people at all, and obviously we loved that and took full advantage of that.
Oh, yeah. I wish. That sounds awesome. Okay, well, very cool. Anything else in Magic Kingdom really stood out?
One interesting thing I saw at Magic Kingdom, and this is when it was busy, and it was over at the Haunted Mansion, specifically the queue area for the Haunted Mansion. And they also did some interesting things at Big Thunder. I think it's to get rid of the lines or to at least move the lines. At Big Thunder, they had the line, the queue for standby weaving in and out of what used to be the FastPass Plus distribution area, if you remember that, which I thought was interesting. But what was really interesting was at Magic Kingdom for Haunted Mansion. If you're looking at the Haunted Mansion, say standing at the Calabria Harbor House and looking straight at it, you know, the queue's on the left-hand side. If you went over to the left, they were actually sending you down a ramp that went towards the Mark Twain boats, and the queue was down along the river underneath that building, and then it came back up near the graveyard area.
The building in front of the Haunted Mansion, like that stable house?
Yes, exactly. And I'd never seen that before.
John posted a picture of that last week. It was pretty interesting to see it, where literally everybody was like along the river.
Yes.
Up until they got to the awning, that green awning that was over the top of the line.
Exactly right.
Which was really odd, because I don't think I've ever seen a line that long at Haunted Mansion, even in the summertime. It'll come out past like the entrance to that whole area, but never really further than that.
Unless they've increased the FastPass Plus that they've distributed.
True. That's so. Was that standby or FastPass?
That was standby. FastPass was right. Yep. FastPass was at the same spot. Scan your badge. Scan your Magic Band and go right in.
Did you happen to notice what the wait time was?
That wait time had to have been around 45 to 50.
Okay, well, that's...
Which is why I did not get in that line.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely not. It's funny, when you're lucky enough to get to the parks a couple times a year, you do have your limits on wait times.
Yeah, so we did not ride Haunted Mansion that first day, but then the next week it was a 20-minute wait. 20 minutes right. Is fine. Excellent. I'll wait that for Haunted Mansion.
Sure.
We talked about arcades recently on the show, and I did go over and check out the Space Mountain arcade. It's not just walled off. It looks like it's permanently walled off. I mean, it is just boom, like it was never there.
Are they going to do something with that space, you think, or just it's been eliminated?
You know, I love Jen's idea, or maybe it was Jimmy that said that would be perfect meet and greet for Baymax or somebody like that.
Sure.
But it just, you would never know there was an arcade there.
When you get off the line, how does it look inside? Like, as you go, because you have to go through that store a little bit as you exit.
Oh, so the store is still there. But if you think when you went through that store, you sort of made a right and a U-turn almost to go into the arcade.
So the store has like a back wall to it now?
Yes, there's a wall there with merchandise on it. It's like, gotcha. It was never there.
Wow, that is pretty sneaky.
Exactly. It's like, okay, there's nothing to see here.
Well, I mean, how busy was that arcade? You know, I can't imagine it being too busy all the time.
Or for me, it was annoying because my kids always wanted money. And then that's being honest, right?
Sure.
What else is going on over at Magic Kingdom? I already mentioned that my Magic Band, the special Magic Band, you know, the Darth Vader and my daughters worked for the Wishes. It also now works, and they changed the on-ride photo locations. So when you exit any of the main attractions, whether it's Buzz, whether it's Space Mountain or Splash, you know, you'd scan your Magic Band to claim the picture from the on-ride. Now in all of the parks, that on-ride picture, there's not a preview. There's a preview that's sort of grayed out and a big old scan your Magic Band right over top of it. So there's just enough that you can see the people, but this completely eliminates people standing there taking pictures of the picture.
Oh, I'm one of those.
And so was I. And now you're going to get a picture that says, tap your Magic Band below.
So now I got to figure a way to take a picture of the computer screen when I look at it later.
There you go. I'm sure there's ways to do things like that. But there you go. So that's Magic Kingdom. That's probably that's all that's really coming to mind, other than it was absolutely fabulous. And you know, with the family, Magic Kingdom's the place to be. I also did the Fast Pass Plus viewing area for Festival of Fantasy. And this time they moved it. If you remember the video that I did out on the Disney Nerd YouTube channel, it was in the hub area right in front of the castle. Well, that's all under construction now, right? So they moved it to Town Square. And as it turns out, it's the inside of Town Square, that whole inside circle around the flagpole.
Oh, sure.
And I was able to get front and center looking straight down Main Street at the parade coming right at us.
Oh, awesome. That'd be pretty cool for the dragon coming at you.
That was absolutely cool with the dragon, and I may have to do another video for that one. But
cool. Tie those two together. That would be really cool, the different views.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Where'd you eat at the Magic Kingdom? Anything stick out?
You know what? Great question, because I did manage to get a breakfast over at Be Our Guest.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. How was that?
So we started one morning at Be Our Guest. It is, it's one price. You're ordering when you get in. It's the same as the lunch is. So it is not sit down. This is counter service. You show up, you tap a Magic Band, you then select what you want on the kiosk, pay for it. You go and sit down in any available seat so they don't sit you. The West Wing, of course, was packed with people. We were in the main ballroom. You get your coffee, you get your utensils, and then they bring the tray of food out to you, which was pretty cool.
Nice. Now, was this anything with reservations or set up beforehand?
This absolutely was reservation and set up beforehand. We talked about it a few shows back. The day that they announced they were taking reservations, I was on the phone at 8 a.m. and was able to make my breakfast reservations.
Nice.
Now, I did do it for – I had breakfast scheduled for 2 days. After the first day, we canceled the second reservation I had later in the week. Now, here's why. The selection is somewhat limited, and it's your French-type breakfast platters that my kids just didn't really like all that much.
Yeah, I was looking at some pictures of the meals, and I'm not a big breakfast person to begin with, and then to have right. like a gravy-ish heavy type of...
Yeah. Now, the thing that went over the best, and we didn't pay for this, they also give you a tray of French pastries. Which they were all over that. They loved the pastries, but they didn't like the poached egg sandwich that they got or the quiche or those things they didn't like that much.
Right.
So for the price, yeah, no.
That's understood. Totally.
You're paying to be in Be Our Guest Restaurant, and Be Our Guest Restaurant is beautiful. And if you can't get there, absolutely do it. But for five people, it cost $80 for breakfast.
Sure. Yeah.
And totally imagine. That's just no. It wasn't worth that.
Nope. I could see maybe taking the wife, be something different.
Well, then I try to get a dinner, and dinner's nice. And now let me kind of I'll segue here to another park and sort of flip that around. I stayed in an Epcot resort area at the Dolphin. And what we've become accustomed to doing when we come into International Gateway is to head straight to France and the French Bakery, which opens at 9 o'clock for breakfast. Okay. Remember, World Showcase doesn't open until 11, but they'll let you back there at 9. France is absolutely empty, and my kids can get the pastries that they like, and that breakfast cost me $25, and everyone was happy.
Yep.
Versus 80. So that, if you're in the Epcot Resort area, we walked straight past the Boardwalk Bakery that had people lined up out the door to a French bakery that was empty. Nobody in it.
All fresh, too, I'm sure.
All absolute. Oh, wonderful.
Before we get away from Be Our Guest, I was curious. Do they serve drinks in the morning?
No.
Like, did they have any, like, champagne or anything like that?
No. Only dinner, only for sit down.
Gotcha.
That's the only time they do. And if there's wine, and they have that, there's one French beer that they have that I had to have in the past, which is, it's no big deal.
Right. Yeah. I was surprised. I think they would try to get away with a mimosa or something. But I understand, counter service type of rule. Cool. Okay, so where are we going to go next?
So my next stop was Epcot just because it's Flower and Garden.
Okay.
I love Flower and Garden, right? So I mentioned just a minute ago getting into France when it was empty, which means the Beast and Belle and Lumiere and Mrs. Potts and all the topiaries that nobody's around. They're absolutely beautiful. Flower and Garden Festival was beautiful. It really is. And it is completely. It just completely changes Epcot and what you do as you're walking around.
Sure. There's so much else to see.
Oh, hold on. I got one thing that from Magic Kingdom I got to go back to. And okay. This was a note I had specifically for you, Ed. Jungle Cruise was down, but the cast members sort of stand around and they're, hey, what's going on? One of the cast members had a huge rubber snake around his neck. Like I'm talking from both arms to both arms, a big one. And when you get closer to him, you realized it was their pin board. There were pins stuck into this rubber snake all over the place, and he was trading with people.
Oh, very cool.
And it was incredible because you did a double take, and you're like, wow, what is that?
Right.
And I thought that was very unique. So Nice. Pin trading, absolutely, we did a lot of that.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
A couple of things at Epcot I noticed. The wall is up for the new Frozen meet and greet. So basically, as you pass Mexico, there is now a wall that stretches from behind the margarita stand all the way along the left-hand side back past the restrooms. That entire area is walled off. They removed the Agent P World Showcase Adventure kiosk from there. There's a couple of cast members sort of standing where it used to be in front of the wall that will direct you to the next places where you can get your phones. But that's construction has started for sure.
Good, good. Well, you know, predicted. It's happening.
Predicted, and yeah, no official announcement from Disney, right? There was only a leak, and people said, now there's a big wall in that place, and they're starting.
Mm-hmm. Well, nice. Okay, so now we had the flower show. Anything new this year?
Some new luminaries. Some new topiaries that we spoke about before. Anne and Elsa, Chippendale, they're wonderful, and I'm going to do a separate photo report just for Flower and Garden Festival for people to check out. What I noticed more is the topiaries that weren't there that were there last year. For example, Miss Piggy was there, but somebody must have frog legs because Kermit's not there this year. He's missing. And Winnie the Pooh was back, but none of his friends. So Tigger wasn't there, and Kanga and Roo, who were there last year. And I even think Mr. Owl was there last year. I don't remember.
Right. You never know where you're going to find these guys, though. I think going to the Hollywood Studios, I remember seeing some topiaries that had been at Epcot.
That's correct. So, they did that with the Monsters, Inc. guys once upon a time.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. They had the books again, right? Get your booklet. There are outdoor kitchens all the way around. Not as many as Food and Wine Festival. They definitely did not have the lines that Food and Wine Festival gets. There were some great tasty treats around. I love the pineapple dog and the pineapple stand, the nice and spicy hot dog. I thought it was really good. Lots of good food, but not very many lines. It's definitely not Food and Wine Festival.
Right.
Is
the quality there, though?
The quality was there, yes. And I was a little concerned with it because Food and Wine, they're constantly making that stuff in the back, right? It's turned over so quickly, so they're constantly making food. You got to worry about, has this been sitting? But I didn't have any issues at all.
Oh, good.
Everything I got was good.
Awesome. What was your favorite? Absolutely.
I like that pineapple dog. Spicy hot dog with pineapple chutney and some kind of sriracha mayo, which obviously was the heat.
Right.
And that also had pineapple soft serve, which essentially is your Dole Whip with Bailey's or with rum or with something along those lines.
Nice. Now, do they name these kiosks after countries, or is it just they're there?
No. Well, they all have names. They're outdoor kitchens. They have,
And I'm thinking, because, you know, Food and Wine, we have all the different countries all around World Showcase.
Florida Kiosks. Fresh. So the Lotus House is the one that was near China. The Primavera Kitchen is the one near Italy, which has sort of an Italian flair to it.
Mm-hmm. So they named them after the theme as opposed to a country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Taste of Marrakesh is the one in front of Morocco.
Gotcha.
Which was it? And they all have the stamps as well.
Right. Did the kids do any of the KidCot things or any of the...
Absolutely. So in addition to the KidCot, there are quite a few kids' activities part of Flower and Garden Festival. Whether it's the play areas, which Mike and Sully's garden is back, that's a pretty big playground, and there's an area called Cactus Road Rally, which is where Mater and Lightning McQueen are, so there's some things there for them. There's also the butterfly garden, which my youngest absolutely loved, Tinkerbell's butterflies.
That is fun in there.
Absolutely love that. There are also activities on different weekends for kids. And it's interesting they say weekends because the Festival Center, which is once again the Wonders of Life building, is only open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's only open 10 to 5.
That's very limited.
It's only 7 hours a day, 3 days a week.
So were they running any demonstrations or how-to events in there?
When I was in there, so fortunately, I was there on a Friday and on a Sunday, so I got to go inside. I took the camera in with me, of course, and they were doing some gardening. They had the Epcot horticulture department in there talking about soil and how they make some of the things. They had a wonderful history of topiaries at Disney parks. There was sort of in the back area where they do the chocolate for Food and Wine Festival. But it had boards and posters that essentially went back to the 1960s and the things that they were doing at Disneyland and how they brought that out to Epcot and really started the Flower and Garden Festival. And it was really interesting and something that I was all over as a Disney nerd. Just absolutely loved it.
Oh, sure. The history behind it is amazing. They created their own gardens and, yes, I guess, places down in Florida that they can grow all these things out on this land and then bring them in the parks whenever they need it.
Absolutely.
Just the whole design of that was incredible.
Yes.
Cool.
Now, for Food and Wine, you probably know that that's also the merchandise center inside the festival center. That's where you get all the merchandise. Because it was closed during the week, there was more merchandise available outside that location. So as you approached going into Epcot and you're coming in the front door and you're headed straight down that promenade on your left-hand side where the Phineas and Ferb thing starts, there's a huge marketplace there. They rethemed one of the gift shops to be nothing but events merchandise for the Food and Wine Festival. Or, I'm sorry, for Flower and Garden.
Right. Cool.
And I loved some of it. So a couple of interesting things. Love the t-shirt, which was Sorcerer Mickey in front of Spaceship Earth and Flower and Garden Festival. I loved it. They also tied the Orange Bird into some merchandise this year.
Oh, I did see one of those shirts, yeah.
Which I thought was really cool, right? So giving the Orange Bird a little love.
Well, considering they took him out of the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, they sort of removed him.
So, very cool. He's still being kept around a little bit.
And lots of... If you've not been... So, I used to, and I don't know... I used to go in January all the time. That's when we wanted to get out of town after the holidays, go down, head to Disney World. And a few years ago, I decided, you know, let's go in March instead of going in January. It's because of the Flower and Garden Festival. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And that's what's so great, and we always harp on these things, but Walt Disney World has so many different side events other than just straight going to the parks and going on rides that, yeah, it's worthwhile maybe looking around the parts of the year you can go and picking something where there's like a side event, like Food and Wine or the Flower and Garden. Any of these things are great.
Yep.
The holiday times of the year.
Holidays are always wonderful in the parks.
Okay. Well, so now, as far as Epcot went, anything stand out ride-wise, attraction, something new, something gone?
Captain EO is gone.
Oh, that's right. I did hear this.
We are in the transition phase. So I was there the last day that Captain EO was presented. I did not go to see it. I probably should have, but I didn't. And then it was down, and I was told that it would be a week or next Saturday, so somewhere around April 20th, it would open for previews of Tomorrowland, the new movie that's coming out.
Okay.
I've also heard that Captain EO is coming back after that, but I don't know.
Right. Well, they're always having fun showing those previews, so, and that's a good theater, I guess, for that. Nice and cool.
Nice and cool and big and lots of people, and makes me wonder what they're going to start to do with the theater over in Studios where I did see the Cinderella preview.
Oh, right. The Drew Carey Studio. The Drew Carey.
Yes. Right. The old ABC sound stage or whatever they call it.
Sure. What they're using it for is almost perfect. What better way to use a theater that has no attraction other than to promote your new movies coming out?
Why not? And if you can get people to sit through it and get interested in seeing the movie, that's a good thing.
Right. And they were giving away some freebies afterwards. We saw the Lone Ranger over at the Drew Carey thing way back when. And they were giving away buttons and Lone Ranger masks and, you know, basically stuff to take with you on the way out. So, not bad.
Yeah, stuff to promote the movie.
Sure.
Why not?
And good souvenirs.
Yeah. Okay. Anytime you get a free souvenir, that's a great thing.
Oh, right. Right. Plus, you know what? Even those free like buttons and things like that, if you got it all together and you had a really fun time, because we got to take the pictures outside the Lone Ranger. We had our arms around Tonto and the Lone Ranger and all this other stuff. And I remember that as a fun, fun time. So as soon as I see that button again, that comes right back to me.
That's beautiful.
Nice. Okay, well, cool. So we've got through Magic Kingdom and Epcot, some new things. Let's head over to the Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom, sure. I'll tell you what I first noticed at Animal Kingdom. So last time I was at Animal Kingdom, going through the Oasis and getting to Discovery Island, there were a whole bunch of walls right in front of the Tree of Life. It was encircled with walls. And I really didn't know what the heck they were up to back then. This time when you walked across, that area is so much more opened than it used to be. There is a lot of space in front of the Tree of Life where they used to have these little trails and these little sort of islands and different things that you have to walk around. Mm-hmm. And if you remember that, sure. Those things are gone. Now it's a big, wide open space, which to me is them getting ready for whatever this nighttime show around the Tree of Life is going to be. Room for people to watch this thing.
Oh, sure. So as you're coming into Animal Kingdom, you see the tree, you're going down over that bridge, and you can almost walk up to the greenery around the tree now.
Yes. It goes all the way down there.
Oh, cool.
Now, on the right-hand side, there's walls. It's all walls on the right-hand side. That's what used to be the Isle of Java, which was a little coffee cart that's sort of in front of Disney Outfitters on the right. That's sort of all covered up. I don't know if there's new construction or if they're re-theming, but that's where the Starbucks is supposedly coming.
Okay, okay. They had a little, what was the Up, the Boy Scout troop the little guy was in, or the Cub Scout troop? They had the little kiosk on the bridge there, too. As you can
That kiosk is still on the bridge. Okay. Once you're on the other side of the bridge, that's where the wall starts.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, that's the Wilderness Explorers.
Right.
Which, you know, honestly, Ed, I think we can devote a show to talking about Wilderness Explorer.
I would love to, because unfortunately I've never done it. And I think my kids just got to the point where they were too old to try it, or at least to be one of the first things we do. So, yeah, definitely want to hear about it.
So if I go back, not this trip we just got back from, but my last 7-day trip. And here's how our 7-day trips go. Yours probably goes something like this. It's Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom in the morning, then Downtown Disney in the evening. Then we go back to Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Then that last day, leave it up to the kids, whatever they want to do, right? Mm-hmm. What do you guys want to do on the last day? And I'll tell you, for the first, it's usually always Magic Kingdom. I could just go ahead and make the fast passes. They're going to say go to Magic Kingdom. This last trip in October, my youngest said, Dad, I want to go back to Animal Kingdom because I want to finish my merit badges and get my Wilderness Explorer.
Oh, wow. Nice.
That is what he wanted to go back to Animal Kingdom to do Wilderness Explorer, where you go to these small kiosks all over the park and get your little merit badges and learn something about conservation or animals. It's incredible. It's really nicely done. Really nicely done.
Very cool. Yeah, definitely something to try.
Discovery River over in Asia. There's still a wall completely from, so if you go across Discovery Island, make the right, head toward Asia, the right, Expedition Everest, there's a wall all the way around that lake, which is really the Discovery River in the middle.
Does it start, because you walk around that pathway and you get to the point where you can see Everest and it's a picture spot?
There's a wall right there. Okay, there's a wall in front of that picture spot.
So no longer a great picture spot.
Well, temporarily no longer a great picture spot.
All right.
Now, here's the cool part here. When you're on Everest, you can take pictures over those walls and see what the heck they're doing. And which is, they're completely redoing the shore area around that entire Discovery River. Now, you can't tell what they're doing, if they're putting seats in or if they're just putting standing area in, but they're definitely redoing, and instead of it going down into a river, they're making a bank and concrete walls right up against that river so people can stand to watch this Rivers of Light thing that they have coming. Right. That's obviously what that's all about.
Oh, cool.
Now, but what I'll say is it's not very intrusive. Right, so when you walk around there, whether you're headed towards Everest, yeah, it messes up that one picture spot. But all the way around to Finding Nemo and to Dino Land, it's just a wall on your right hand side. No big deal.
Right. And there's a lot of greenery and stuff like that anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's one area under construction. The other area is back in Africa. And this looks almost ready to open up. And now when I describe this, you'll know what I'm talking about. That's the bottleneck that is Africa, right? If you walk back into Africa to get to Kilimanjaro Safaris, you have to go down that one sort of hallway that's to the left, right past Tusker House, with the little stage where they'll play music to get back to the safari. Mm-hmm. Sure. It's a bottleneck right there because everybody's coming and going. They are building sort of behind that a completely new section that will have new restaurant that will be an alternate way to get to Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Oh, okay.
So let me see if I can describe this without having a map. There is a refreshment stand as soon as you cross the bridge. Where you cross the bridge from Discover Island into Africa. There's a refreshment stand on the right. If you go to the right of that, there's a huge wall that behind it, you can see the new buildings for a new street that will go up behind the marketplace and connect another path all the way back to Kilimanjaro Safaris.
So is this going to go like Rafiki's, the train station, like Passover in that area, or?
Exactly. Oh, okay. So basically there's a wall from Rafiki's, the train station, all the way down to that one restaurant. I'm sorry, to the marketplace. And then there's another wall that is over by the Discovery River. And as big as this wall is, you can see the buildings behind it. They're putting the final touches on it. When this wall comes out, when you exit the safari, you'll basically be able to go straight into that area where there was nothing before.
Okay, cool.
It's really going to open it up.
And the buildings all look similar to the buildings they have there now?
It looks exactly like the buildings that are there now.
Nice.
Just different signage. It's going to really open up that bottleneck back there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Can't wait to see if they have any nice little tidbits in there, signage-wise and stuff.
There has to be. There has to be some good stuff in there.
Cool.
So Animal Kingdom's looking good. And again, there's a lot of construction, but you don't really notice it. Yeah, there's a wall here or there, but it's no big deal.
Right.
And of course, the new Lion King stage is just incredible. It's phenomenal. Same show, but the theming's the best.
Oh, sure. Any signage for Avatar Land at all?
No signage at all. However, you can now see some of the construction, especially at the bus stop, because the bus stop's over in that location. And as you're climbing the hill on Everest, you can see the cranes, and they're working on the second or maybe even the third level of a structure over there now. So lots of cranes in that general area.
Gotcha. Well, at least they're moving on with that.
Yeah, but the only thing you notice, and you don't even notice it in a park, because when you're going past Pizza Safari down that left where you used to go to Camp Minnie Mickey, the wall's way down there, so you don't even see it. And the cast members just keep you going straight. Just keep running. There's nothing down here to see. Just keep going. But there's not like there's a visible wall. There's nothing down there. Okay. And you go, okay, I'll keep going.
Okay, well, sounds like you had a great time, Sam. And we have one more park to talk about.
Yeah, the park with all of the walls and construction and things happening and things going on.
That's true.
Of course, that's Hollywood Studios. Which still, you gotta love Hollywood Studios. I mean, come on. We have Fast Passes waiting for us for Toy Story Mania and Tower of Terror and Muppet Vision, although you don't need the Muppet Vision Fast Pass, but because of their tiering over here, you can't get all of them, but I guess it is what it is.
Sure.
So, of course, the Sorcerer's Hat is gone. The walls are still there. Let's remember that they have until May 15th, which is less than a month, to get rid of those walls for Star Wars weekends. They're definitely working on something behind the walls. I had previously speculated that it's a stage. After peeking through some of the cracks, not that I would do that, I'm not so sure. It might be. It might just be a central, like, circle hub area. It could be a spot where a partner statue of some sort could end up someday. What I can say is when those walls come down, there will be something in the location that used to be the Sorcerer's Hat. I don't know what, and it's you can't speculate. Maybe Disney's not said anything.
maybe some form of utilities to support stages that they have set up there.
Which very well could be. So it could be some type of a platform or think of some type of a planter with a bunch of flowers in it that are Mickey floral shape. But in reality, that's covering up all the conduit, which has all the plugs to plug stage things into. Right? That's very, very likely something that they would do. But the area is wide open. Feels a lot like the Magic Kingdom hub and Animal Kingdom. It's just wide open, except for the wall. When that wall comes down, you're going to go, wow, this feels like a different place because there's so much room, which again, in my speculation, is Disney making room for more people to watch things like Star Wars fireworks and Frozen fireworks and whatever they have in the make. Just
yeah,
makes
no.
sense.
Totally agree, and I was watching your Star Wars video again from last year, and the fireworks would look so much better without the hat there. The hat is so intrusive that
it is.
It's going to be so much better.
I agree with you. It will be. Back towards Toy Story Mania, they are building that third track. So last time I was down, in my photo report, I had a picture of a wall next to it. Now that wall has Toy Story Mania signs all over it. To make it obvious that it's going to be Toy Story Mania. There's not much going on past. So if you're walking past Toy Story Mania and you get to the end of it all the way back to Streets of America, there's not much happening back there.
I was going to say, now there's no backlot signage anymore?
The signs are no, everything's gone. There's no backlot signs. There's simply a...
Is the doorway for the entrance to the line still there, or is that just boarded up? Or?
It looks like a gate. Not really boarded. It looks like it was always a gate, but I'm not 100% sure. But it's definitely closed off. Like, you would never know that it was an attraction if this was your first visit. You just walk right past it as you get back. That restaurant is still back there, the counter service. And they have Cinderella's chariot from the movie is back there for a photo opportunity on the Streets of America.
Right, and just real quick, because we're walking through here, and there's not much. They still have that store across from the restaurant, the gift shop.
The gift shop is still there.
One of the best places for sight gags that nobody knows about.
Yeah, I agree.
There's probably about a half dozen sight gags in that store that are just so fun, from the heavy weights hanging from the ceiling and stuff like that. But cool.
Ed, I think that when we go down for whatever Nerds Meet's going to happen in the fall, we should go take advantage of some of those sight gags, because I don't know how long they're going to be there. Know what I mean?
Yeah, true. Now, I did read somewhere this week there's still not official confirmation of this, but it does sound more and more like it's going to be Cars Land back there.
It's part of Pixar Land, right?
Correct.
And I I'm good with that, right? There's so much more room. You don't need just a Cars Land. You can have a Pixar Land and a Cars Land. And if anyone is interested as to what we're talking about, go look at Pixar Land that exists in Tokyo Disneyland. That'll give you a little idea of some of the things they've already done and maybe could borrow from. It's things to keep the kids busy, because quite honestly, there's not a lot to do in studios once you knock the big ones off.
No, I can't imagine how people are keeping busy once they get off Sunset Boulevard.
We ended up, we had a day planned at Hollywood Studios. Look, I'm a huge fan of the studios, and I hate the shape that it's in now. But we always do the 50s for dinner, and we did the sci-fi for lunch, and we ended up back at the hotel halfway through the day swimming, which wasn't bad. It was 90 degrees every day when we were down there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I've learned that, you know, we always talk about babies needing naps. Sometimes teenagers do, and sometimes adults do.
Sure. Oh, no doubt. When you have a couple extra days down there, it's definitely worth it to get back to the hotel during the day.
Yeah, especially if you're knocking down the parks first thing in the morning and then closing them.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely worth it.
Oh, very cool. So now, Hollywood Studios, anything else really stand out for you?
So if one thing at studios that I'm kind of Muppet Vision 3D is not drawing all that many people, at least not while I was there. It was very the waits are basically the next show. The pre-show area is not full. I just hope Muppet Vision survives whatever happens at the studios.
Well, as you mentioned in the last show with Jim and Len, they really can't take anything out of Hollywood Studios right now. So I think we're safe for a little while.
A little while, yeah. I just hope it's enough.
I really hope that they would update it as opposed to replacing it. It's been there so long, and it does attract every age group. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Let's not hold a week for it this early.
No, and I am still fingers crossed that we could see the original plans for that whole area. Because if we have a Pixar Land coming, fingers crossed we do, we don't really need a Pizza Planet where it is. And that was not supposed to be Pizza Planet originally. That whole area was supposed to be Muppet Land. And, you know, that would be great to see Muppet Land.
Sure. Or it could actually extend out from Star Wars, if you really think about it, because that is the back of Mos Eisley.
It is.
Or where the, you know, the store is. So, either way.
Somebody's got the plans, and they're just not sharing it. But what are you going to do?
Do a little
research. Studios was good. We did not get to Downtown Disney, even though I did see all of the online posts that the boathouse had opened, and oh, my gosh. And I looked at the menus for the boathouse, and I thought, yeah, that's one for me and the wife, not for all of us.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
If you saw that menu, it's, you know, entrees $60 plus. Eesh.
Yeah, no, I don't get that, but...
I don't get it either, but okay, if you're Downtown Disney, you don't need admission, you're trying to attract, you know, business clientele or whatever it might be, or me and my wife when we're there, you know, without the kids, I can understand it. And there's more coming there too, right? They have a steakhouse coming and a nice Asian place coming, and the boathouse looks cool. Did you see pictures of these cars, the aqua cars?
Oh, I did. It was funny because I was showing it to my daughter this morning, and I grew up in North Jersey on a lake, and yeah. One of the guys down the street from us had a car like that.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was, because he would always pull that thing out, and it was always a pain in the ass, but fun, fun, fun.
But I'm betting he didn't charge you $125 for 30 minutes to ride in it.
Oh my gosh, is that what they're charging?
$125, and you can only take three people, because you don't drive it, they drive you around.
Right. Right, and you can only fit so many in that.
Yes.
Wow. I wonder if they actually. I wonder if they have a weight limit.
That's a great question.
Only saying that because they always have limits on rides and such like that. But interesting.
There's got to be buoyancy of some sort. I mean, it's a car that floats and goes, and so I look at it and I hear. And we see this all the time, right? Some of the locals go crazy. Look at how cool this is. Look at how fun it is, right? Splitsville open. Oh, my God, look how fun it is. You know what? They have the ducky tour things all over the country.
True. I was going
to
say that.
It's not that big of a deal to get in an amphibious vehicle that drives into the water.
The coolest thing I could say about it is usually the duck tours, you're with 20 of your favorite, you don't know these other people.
Right.
Taking this little tour, it's 30 minutes of you and your family or you and
yeah,
your
which friends. Is cool. Which
so
is
cool. Maybe a little bit. And can you take libations with you?
That's a great question.
Yeah, we need
hey,
to stop
I'm not
over
driving.
Here.
I'm not allowed to drive.
Because there's a couple docks over there, and they have the one margarita place at the end of the where the boathouse was.
I did want to go see that margarita place, but it was a fun trip. All
it was
in
a
all,
family trip.
This was a family trip, and again, I had to deal with the My Disney Experience app. And I get home, and there's a big update for the app, and it says how great things are and how much they changed. FastPass Plus scheduling, thank you, because I struggled with that the whole time I was there.
Well, here's the best part about it. You're going back in a couple weeks to go down for Star Wars weekend.
That will be a solo research trip. That's
so
different.
Perfect time to check out now the new app versus what you dealt with this past trip.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It'll be interesting to hear the differences.
Yeah, it was... It was a little tricky, especially when you're trying to send people different locations. For example, there's five of us. One, my youngest, isn't tall enough for some of the bigger rides. So my wife and the older two head to Space Mountain, and the little guy and I are headed to Buzz. And you got to plan those separately, and then if you need to change something, it becomes an issue, and it gets tricky, to say the least.
Do they still have a lot of cast members walking around with iPads to help you out?
Not as many as there used to be. But now that you mention that, I remember something we talked about on a show. Driving into the parks. The attendant had the thing in his hand to scan my Magic Band when I pulled up. So I'm in my car. I pull up. He's got his little pad. He scans my magic band. It beeps, and he waves me in. Here's what was interesting about that. You know, usually there's one guy in the booth, and he sort of goes to the right and then goes to the left and then goes the other way. There was a second gentleman in there with him. They had four of these scanners making sure that they were working accurately. And they were he tried to scan one of mine and it didn't work, and he immediately switched for another reader and it worked. It's like they had trouble. It's like, I don't know if his tech support in there with him or what, but they obviously were trying to get these things online quicker. They talk about the Wi-Fi upgrades that they did, which are awesome, great to do the upgrades, but they've also rolled out so many more of these handheld kiosks that are scanning magic bands.
Sure, taking up the bandwidth.
It's taking the bandwidth. You added bandwidth and you took it up. You figure every parking lot person has one of these now? It's amazing.
Well, just what they're doing with all that technology is just amazing. I wish we could really get a true picture from behind the scenes, exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it. Even the point you mentioned earlier where the Pirates was down and everybody with their fast pass was able to go to whatever ride they mentioned.
Yeah.
That change just is kind of mind-boggling, and they couldn't have done that a year ago or two
no,
years ago.
No, not at all.
You would have just lost that fast pass.
And obviously things are getting better because the new things that they have implemented – the new construction around the hub and the new photo pass. When I scan those, it's using the special features of my magic band. Now, for those of you that don't know, I purchased a Darth Vader magic band at Star Wars Weekends last year, which they're going to have special edition again this year. And when you tap it, it lights up red and breathes like Darth Vader. That had only worked at studios, but now it's working in other parks. It worked at Test Track when I scanned to get our picture. Like, wow, that is so cool.
And I tell you what, it's an extra cost for that type of magic band, but now that you can use it all the different parks and it works that way, to me it's worth it now.
It's pretty cool. They did have a limited edition Anna and Elsa magic band for Flower and Garden Festival, by the way, which I looked at, and then I reminded my daughter she has an Olaf band that she got last year for Frozen Summer Fun.
Right.
So that ended that conversation.
Oh, yeah. But I could see that being the next collector item.
Sure.
You have your magic band to go to the park with. You get to choose between the different colors now.
Yes. Now, speaking of that, one thing that I realized, I have multiple magic bands because of some annual passes and some trips that we made. All of those bands stay linked to the same person. So I have like six magic bands linked to me, including the Darth Vader one that I bought. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I did annual passes, we all had our colors, right? I got a blue one, my little guy got red, and we all have different colors. I started to pick different colors for my daughter so that now she has like four different color magic bands and coordinates them with her outfit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things that who knows how long that'll last. But
oh, yeah, take your best now. It's nice.
Keeps
very pretty.
So I could keep talking. You know that, Ed.
Oh, I know, but looking at the clock, I think we've actually gone over an hour.
Oh.
So what we're going to do is we'll finish up for today. And our next show, we're going to spend some more time talking about Sam's trip, some more about the restaurants and the dolphin and some of the other things you might have done.
So on the dolphin are cool. It's definitely a show.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, that's it, guys. Thanks for listening to show number 80.
If you have a question for the show, send an email to questions@thedisneynerds.com. If you want to talk to any of us, Sam, Ed, Jimmy, or Jen, send us an email at thedisneynerds.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Sam. Sounds like you had an awesome family trip to Walt Disney World.
Absolutely.
And we'll look forward to hearing some more about it next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you to our friends for helping us with our Final Four Movie Madness Tournament. Stay tuned for next week when we do our finals, and get out there and vote this week, guys. So that's it, and we will see you later. Bye-bye.
Kongaloosh.